Everybody, it's episode 423 of the Comedy Film Nerds podcast.
Welcome.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we made it all the way to 423.
We did it. A quarter of the way to 1692. If I did that right.
It's close enough.
Close enough. It's halfway to 846. That we know for sure.
So we're going to have a lot of movies to talk about. We're going to talk about Jurassic World. We're going to talk about Hereditary. And
Sleepless,
and even an anime in this corner of the world, and we got a lot of some trailers, got some DVDs, and some interesting things premiering this week.
Couple interesting trailers,
yes.
First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody who came out to the Progressive Comedy Tour.
How'd that go?
It was awesome. We did 5 states in 5 days. We drove 1,500 miles. And it was really cool, especially like...
Old-time road gig,
man. Different city every night. I blew my voice out singing karaoke at a smoky place in Nashville. There's this bar called Santa's Pub, which is a double-wide trailer that does karaoke. And it's all cash.
Mm-hmm.
And on stage, it says you can't bring a beer up there. You can't cuss. And there's like a third thing you can't do when you're on stage singing.
Smoke.
Yeah. No, you can smoke on stage. You can smoke everywhere. But the DJ goes, no cussing on stage. And it's like a thing. And I was just like, okay, cool. And then like all these big name acts, like musicians, because it's Nashville, coming and sing. And there was this guy who's a pop singer, and I forget his name. But he came in there. I'd never heard of him. But then one of his big famous pop songs from the early 2000s, these two buddies of his serenaded him to his song. It's the funniest thing. So we laughed our ass, and we had a great time, and you know, as all these people going, hey, thanks for coming to this, because it was all red states, like, thanks for bringing your progressive stuff here, and it was really cool.
Pockets of resistance,
you know, in the middle of this insanity. So one of them, it was great. It was
very cool. Well, I wanted to give you guys an update. The CFN new logo shirts are almost here. I got the shipping tracking numbers. So as soon as we have them, they will be up in the store. But we're probably about a week or so away.
You're watching the video. Here's the new logo. It's on the screen. It's these two birds. And as Aaron said, it's hashtag comedy film birds. one talent's holding a microphone. The other one's holding a film camera. So it's fantastic. Yep. I like it. It's a crest.
Yep, got a CFN shield in the middle.
Yep.
So... And the shirts are coming out really, really nice. So we'll have them in gift packs too. So, all right, let's introduce our guest.
Yeah. I believe first time guest.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
but we've seen him on shows. We've worked with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I ran into you. Were you at the ATC Festival in October in Phoenix?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, that's where we saw each other. And then you do a show on this network.
Yes, I do.
And that show is called
Pointed Questions.
Nice, ladies and gentlemen, Brett Weinbach.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about Pointed Questions.
It's usually I kind of interrogate someone who with a
that's with a great way to put it.
I just ask a bunch of questions about it's usually someone with an unusual job or a usual job, but some profession that I don't know about really. And just ask a bunch of questions about their job and their experience with that job. So
we've had
like a fireman on, and we had like a mortician and a public defender and a model.
What's like the weirdest answer you've gotten?
I don't know. Weirdest answer. And just give you the answer without the question too, right?
Yes.
probably chicken claw. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I could say anything, I guess. But the most interesting episode, I'll say, is this guy who used to be a professional internet spammer, kind of.
Wow.
What he used to do is he used to kind of bait people in chat rooms to go to websites, adult websites and stuff. And I know that's a very interesting episode called Internet Spam.
Wow.
That's most interesting answer as a answer meaning all the answers in one episode, that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You also do something that I'm so, you told me this when I saw you like a year or so ago, maybe not at the ATC, but somewhere else, that you don't have a cell phone or anything.
That's true. I never have.
And you just have a home phone.
Yes.
And when you told me that, I was...
Inspired?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And envious.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, I go through this struggle all the time. Like, in the one sense, the technology of the smartphone is amazing. Like, you can video chat with people all over the world. It's portal to all
It's a useful tool.
Very. Mm-hmm. But it also can become an encumbrance, and it can become an addiction.
Abused. It's abused all the time.
Completely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've done... So dopamines are released when you're looking at photos and stuff. So it's literally an addiction.
Yes.
And when you told me that, I was like, oh, God, I long for those days of, like, I'm gone all day. When I come home, yes. I'll listen to my messages.
Right. Mm-hmm. And check your emails too.
Sure.
I'm not opposed to the emails, but I'm not checking them all the time. So you didn't go that route?
I haven't.
After hearing that?
Because I think, I don't know, and maybe my justification is just, you know, there's so much like I work, I got to promoting the Progressive Comedy Tour, promoting this show, all this promotion.
I think you can do it.
Really? You just go... So how do you... explain to me how you do it.
Well...
Like, time-wise, like logistically.
So, okay. So, you know, I was at home before I came here, and I did some business emails and things when I was home. And I'll probably be home in a few hours or so, and I'll do it then. I promoted something earlier today. In fact, I promoted an episode of the podcast I do here. So, big whoop.
Nice.
And so you can promote the tour when you get home. Or, you know, in the morning, you know, or whatever, when you get up. You could do it whenever. I mean, you could just manage. It's easy. I mean, you don't need to do it when you're on the go, right?
And then
why do you need to do it on the go?
Well, I guess why, like, so for the tour, here's an example of why I'm taking photos backstage with my phone. I'm posting them, so people are getting, and I also give bonus content to my Patreon subscribers and stuff like that. So I gotta, my political YouTube show, Political Vigilante, I record that on my phone. So I was getting like there was a guy from Veterans for Peace at the show in Asheville. So I just interviewed him on my camera, on my phone right then and there, bing, boom.
Okay, so you're kind of life casting to a degree.
Yes.
And which is something I've never done, obviously, but mm-hmm. So if that's part of what you do, and then maybe you do need it.
Oh man, I thought you were going to give me a solution tonight.
I mean, you could do this.
I was going to talk you out of it.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this though, and again, this isn't an argument, but like I'm so curious because like on the road, so.
Well, when the dinosaurs take over, you're not going to need a cell phone.
No, 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 no. I mean, we're all going to be in a zombie apocalypse soon. But like now, and again, I did all of these things before the smartphone, so I guess I could just go back to it, and maybe that's your answer. But like, so I'm Yelping restaurants on the road.
Yeah.
I'm punching in the address, and it just comes up on my phone, and that's how we drive to the next gig. So you just take more legwork ahead of time?
Yeah, to, like, I mean, you know, do it at the hotel. I just do everything at the hotel, and then, you know, plan everything out, and... Once I got everything, I'm ready to go.
So you just like print out map quests?
I don't really even print. I mean, I usually just jot it down on a piece of paper. You know, those little notepads in hotels, you know.
Oh.
I just jot down directions or an address or whatever.
How we used to do it.
Yeah, I just do everything the way I've always done it and the way you used to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
And I think you can do it. But as far as if you do want to sort of put your life out there all the time and be spontaneous about what you want to share and stuff about yourself. Well, yeah, maybe you do need a cell phone for that.
It is hard
or
though.
It is
It is a difficult balance because I find myself sometimes just like, oh God, like
don't you want to just disconnect?
I just get this fucking.
I mean,
phone.
People like that. People like to, you know, play along or you know live vicariously or whatever. You know, people like to watch people's lives, but I've never been that public about myself in that way. You know?
And I'm not a huge fan of social media, like even like Facebook and Twitter, like even posting, I'm like, oh, this kind of feels like a chore sometimes, you know, so I don't post as much as
you should get off of it, Chris. You should do what Brett does.
Yeah. Maybe you could do it.
I'm really thinking about it. I do like my phone, but I'm like, you know, social media would probably be the first thing to go for me. I think that Facebook.
I wouldn't, if I didn't have to promote certain things, I wouldn't have social media either.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like if you just had some regular job that you didn't need to do your own marketing for, you
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'd be definitely would never have gotten, would have never been on social media ever.
God.
It would just wouldn't have, I just never, it would never have had that.
That's so fantastic. Yeah.
So, and that would be neat. And you know what? One day, I think there will be no social media for me eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either I'll get successful enough where I feel I won't need to use social media, or I'll be unsuccessful enough that I'll get a job in some kind of world that doesn't need to have social media. So either way, I win. Yeah.
So speaking of winning, let's talk about Jurassic
let's
World.
Let's talk about Jurassic
Fallen World. Kingdom.
Okay.
So this.
Movie, by the way, just so people know, we are going to do a full separate spoiler up on this. So we'll just go broad strokes here now, but we'll get into the specifics.
Just out of curiosity, when I talk about a movie. Do I do a section of spoilers too? No.
No
spoilers. So it's when you get into like key elements or like the endings, just talk around it.
Yeah. And one quick question before you guys get into this movie. Did you watch it together or did you watch it separately?
No, we watched it separately.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we haven't watched the movie together and I don't know how long. It's been a long
usually
time.
It's when we're on the road
right.
together. When we do, then we'll go to somewhere.
It's been a while. Watch them.
Yeah, yeah.
Last time we watched a movie together was Star Wars in Australia.
Was
it? No.
I'm trying to think. Didn't we see one with a fan and then record it at the ArcLight?
Oh yeah. Was that before or after Star Wars? In Australia?
I don't remember now.
Ooh.
I feel like you watching it together could affect your experience of it.
Yeah.
And the way you talk about it.
Sometimes it does for sure. Like if we see one of the, you know, if one of us is enjoying it and we hear the other person sigh. You know, so
we sort of know, like, oh, he's not gonna like this section or whatever.
Do you guys disagree or agree?
We agree more often than we disagree, but when we do disagree, it's very specific. Like, it will be like yes or no. It'll be a Tree of Life discussion. So
that's what we call it.
Yeah,
a Tree of Life discussion. That's a movie we so split so hard on. Uh-huh. That's sort of our barometer.
Right. That became the.
So Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Let's start by just saying, you know, it's a Jurassic Park movie. There's not a lot of places you can go. A park where dinosaurs get out and eat people, or there's an island. There's not a lot of places
something,
you can go.
And something breaks. The security system breaks. Right. This is a standard in a Jurassic movie.
The soldiers aren't up to the task.
No, there's a corrupt somebody.
Yeah, and this movie was definitely by the numbers. Like, I kind of liked the last one a little bit better, where it was, you know, the park, and they made references to the other movies, and, like, this was, like, a modern version of what, you know, the other movies would be. But this one just felt like, it really felt like a reach to me. Like, it felt like, we have a Indominus Rex, now we have an Indoraptor. So it's like, you guys are kind of recycling what we've already seen. Which is all the Jurassic Park movies do, but this one, it just felt a little more blatant than the other ones.
Did you like it, Brett?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I haven't seen a Jurassic movie since the very first one.
Oh, you haven't seen
Park.
You've missed a bunch.
Yeah, how many has there been? Five or something?
There's been like 18.
Yeah.
I got to catch up.
Yeah.
Jurassic Rises. There was...
I think this was the...
There's so many that the original one is Jurassic itself.
Yeah.
It's like a Jurassic movie, you know?
This was the fifth one. And, you know, it tried to throw you those Easter eggs, like Jeff Goldblum cameos, like which... And he was such a great character in the first...
When you say cameos, do you mean there's more than one Jeff Goldblum cameo?
Well, yeah, there is. It's almost like a wraparound where he's testifying before Congress, where they kind of we get his statement, but then we go back for another statement, and then I think I don't know how many statements did we get from him.
He hasn't been in a Jurassic movie since 1997,
right?
Mm. So that's sort of a big deal. He did The Lost World, Jurassic Park, and it, you know, the first one, Jurassic Park, came out 25 years ago in 1993.
Wow, that long ago.
I got to say this: the problems I had with this movie, and again, I'm going in eyes wide open, like, all right, I know the model, right? Something breaks, how they get out, then people are going to get murdered.
The plot, it will be paper thin. We know that going
in. Got
it. Yeah.
What bothered me is, and we'll go more into this in the spoiler app, is what they told me the movie was going to be in the trailers and what I saw really bothered me. I'll leave it there.
Okay.
I'll leave it there.
You didn't think half the movie was going to be an auction?
Yeah, the trailer didn't lead me to believe there's going to be a lot of fucking talking.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. Like,
oh, there's a lot of talking. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's key stuff in the trailer that's like, when it actually shows up in the film, it's like, really?
Right.
So it's a courtroom drama.
Yes, it is a little bit. It's a Jurassic Law and Order. That's what it is. A crime's committed, then the second half, it's all in a court.
What's interesting is
that'd be cool. Actually, I would want to watch that. And this, by the way,
this film, oh, Jurassic Court.
Jurassic Court. Yeah. Jurassic Court.
Next on Jurassic Court. Yeah.
Seriously, that sounds actually kind of interesting. Like, you think of Jurassic Park or the franchise as, you know, actiony and special effects and stuff, but then for the majority of a Jurassic movie to take place in court,
Brett brings up a great point.
Who knows where this franchise will go?
Because that's what they sort of led on to believe at the beginning. And was there's this Jeff Goldblum is in front, he's making like a congressional or a Senate, whatever, hearing in front of governmenty looking character actors.
Yes, and senators and congressmen.
Senators and extras.
It's a committee hearing.
It's a committee. It's an extras committee hearing with one guy that talks. And so they sort of introduce these things of like...
And he's an old white man from the South?
Yeah, he's an old white man from the South, right. So I was like, let me see if I understand correctly. I'm a two-dimensional character. Which is more than Mitch McConnell. So they introduce all of these like ethical questions. Should we let them live? Should they die? They're dangerous, but...
Philosophical...
And
like they've already been extinct. Why we brought them back? Why do they have? Do they have a right to exist or don't they?
Do they? And you know, and that's an interesting question. And do they? And there's sort of a battle. They introduce sort of within the Jurassic world, within the community or whatever.
On the Jurassic message boards.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Jurassic Facebook page.
Yeah, the Jurassic message boards. You need a dial-up modem to get to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Of like. It's bad for the human race. We should let them die. Versus, no, we need to save these creatures. It's amazing, right? So, isn't that interesting?
I like that. Right? I think that's interesting to go. That seems like a neat direction to go in, and maybe it's headed that way. Is they're giving you maybe? Oh, maybe they didn't just give you a taste of it though in this one. They kind of went full on a little bit.
Well, they kind of went in, but then they sort of half-assed that,
mm-hmm.
and then got into too talky and this auction, and I just like
it was multiple movies. Crammed together. It was really, it was like, okay, well, this is the first act, this is the second act, and these are different movies, and then the ending is a completely different movie.
Yes, so, yes, exactly. The movies are all over the place.
So, you know...
So just the sort of ethical congressional courtroom drama...
Yeah.
And then played out in real time on the island that's exploding, and there's a team there. Like, that would have been sort of interesting. Like, you've seen sort of you know, war movies or you know, where there's the special forces unit out doing their thing, and then the politicians are debating on what we should do with the special forces unit.
Right.
Like, you could have done that sort of telling of this, but instead it just, like Chris said, it's like a bunch of different movies packed in there, and that's the problem with it.
Well, the interesting thing was, like, you know, this movie features more dinosaurs than any previous film in the series. Animatronics were reused for many of the dinosaurs, but it happens so fast. Some of the scenes, like you see, you know, it may have the most dinosaurs than any previous film in the series, but a lot of them are on screen for like 2 seconds, so you don't really see them for very long.
I have a question about the animatronics. Is this the first time they've used animatronics since, say, the first Jurassic Park, or have they always been using animatronics?
It always, you know, I'm pretty sure, not 100%, that it's always been a mix of animatronic mm-hmm. and digital effects, because you always seem to have those, obviously when they're running, that's computer generated, but you always seem to have those close-ups where an actor is interacting with like a dinosaur that's sick or is holding one, mm-hmm. and it really feels like the animatronic and puppetry is there. So especially on this one, for sure, you could see that it was animatronic.
I guess when you mentioned it, I wasn't sure if they, because it feels like practical effects are kind of making a comeback these days a little
mm-hmm.
bit,
mm-hmm.
that if they did bring back animatronics just for because now, or if that's something they're always redoing.
Yeah, and it's an interesting question, and I think again from an effects standpoint, these movies are always very good at that. I like the effects when they're close up with the dinosaurs. It feels very like holy shit, it feels real.
You even go back all the way to 1993, and if you remember how blown away we all were with how the dinosaurs looked, and then they've improved since then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the effects for these movies have always been the main star for sure. It's always been about the dinosaurs.
Right.
So Chris Pratt is really likable. So, you know, his charisma kind of carries the fact that, you know, like I said, the plot is threadbare and, you know, the characters are, you can't even call them two dimensional. There's, you know, two is giving them one extra dimension. A lot of them have. It was very, very like, really? Well, you could have done a little bit more with this. And also, you know, there wasn't a lot of time spent on, like, motivations. Like, yeah, we get it. Greed, money. Okay. But then, like, but even stuff like the, you know, the soldiers and the mercenaries and, you know, the guy from Silence of the Lambs, Ted Levine. Like, okay, I get it. He's there for the money. He's capturing the dinosaurs. But then he's, like, he's doing stuff like, why would you bother doing that?
Yeah, why? There's like, so many times I did that. I was like, why would you?
That wasn't even what you're getting paid to do.
And I think it was a missed opportunity, too, to like take the ethical dilemma that's been introduced and be that to be the motivation for some of the bad guys versus just money and greed.
Right.
Which I said, okay, that's fine. And yeah, we live in a world where corporations run everything and they're just greed and they're destroying the earth with their greed. So I understand the sort of parallels they're trying to draw with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could have put in some sort of like
dinosaurs as a new natural resource.
Or somebody's, you know, a zealot,
right?
On some level, and that's what's motivating their reasoning behind doing this nefarious shit with the dinosaurs,
right?
And that would have been more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it. You know, I don't know, but sometimes I do feel like when extra motivations are in a movie, it seems superfluous, and it seemed like. For bad guy motivation, I don't know, but I mean, for good guy motivations, though, sometimes it feels like, I don't know, someone higher up said, I think we need something, another reason why they want to escape, when just escaping for your life is not a reason enough, you know, which that bothers me sometimes when there's extra motivations that don't even need to be there. You know?
I agree with that. I think, though,
I'm not saying that it might be in this, but
I feel like, and I agree that as a general thing, like sometimes they add all this extra bullshit and you're like, you don't need, like, just,
right, it's right. Like they want to get away. They're trying to get away. You
dinosaurs
know? Like,
are trying to kill
them. They don't need to do it for their daughter who died or whatever, right. You know, or something like that. They just, you know.
I agree with that. What I would have liked to have seen, though, is weaving the philosophical and ethical debate throughout the movie more. And you could have done that by maybe that's more of the motivation of the bad guy. Because I like a bad guy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with just bad guy, 100% evil, gotta stop him. Mm-hmm. But to me, sometimes it's interesting when a bad guy says something and you go, oh man, I kind of see their point.
Yeah, like, oh, sure,
you
certainly.
You know what I mean? Like,
when the bad guy's not,
like,
he's
Black Panther.
He's more dimensional. More dimensional.
This movie, you can kind of sum this up with, like, you know, if you're a fan of watching someone run while yelling run, you'll like this movie.
If that's your favorite,
yeah.
That's the apex of your film joy.
No, that would be cool to, you know, I like the idea of a bad guy having some kind of point to some that you might be able to agree with to some degree.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like in Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan's character, man, his motivation was so great.
Is he a bad boy?
He's great.
He's a bad boy.
He's a bad guy.
Bad boy.
Bad boy. He's a total bad boy. And he... You know, his whole thing is, you know, Wakanda has had all of this money and resources and they haven't shared it with anybody. Fuck them. Like, that's a great, and he's bitter and he's jealous. And his ethical foundation is sort of kind of sound. Mm-hmm. His execution of it and his need for vengeance over, you know, and his ego and all that stuff. But it was like, wow, that was a real ethically sound, you know, stance for a bad guy to take. Which made it intriguing to me. I mean, it's even like that scene I mentioned.
Those are always the most interesting villains too, where you're like, oh, I can kind of see
the scene. The scene in The Dark Knight where Heath Ledger's Joker is talking to Batman, and he's like, come on. Don't talk like them. You're one of me. We're you and I are the same. Like the Joker is crazy, but he's not wrong in that society will eat itself. Yeah. You know?
You're both dressed up in costumes.
You're both beating people up in crazy costumes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So I'll tell you, this movie, you know, it is what it is. It's one of those movies where it could have been better. Of course it could have been. But it's a Jurassic Park movie. We'll get more into it in the spoiler, the larger problems with it.
I was way more disappointed in this than the last one.
Right. I liked the last one.
The last one was a lot of fun, and I was and maybe the trailers that they gave us gave me so much. I was like, oh, this new one is going to be awesome. And then I felt very let down and misled. Everything's a lie.
Yeah. Well, what's weird is we'll talk about it more in the spoiler. It's it just ended in such a weird way. Like, oh, I guess you're gonna make another movie then. Like you really the other Jurassic Park movies, including the last one, at least they were a little more closed ended. Like, you know, you could kind of see a beginning, middle, and end in these stories. Where this one, I felt like we were just going from scene to scene until I'm like, oh, okay, well, now we got to wait for the next movie. So it really, that's what it really felt like. It felt like you were watching the middle of a Netflix series. So it was. Like, this is, oh, we're stopping in the middle? Is that what's going on? Okay.
I guess they're going to release the second 7 episodes after this one or something.
Yeah, that's what really what it felt like. But I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the charisma of the stars, you know, Chris Pratt and...
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern. Sam Neill, actually, it was asked if he would return to the series, and he actually responded, you never say never, but I think it's moved on. It's a different time. So, in other words, Sam Neill... he'll do it if you ask him, and I think he'd be a great addition to these movies. And Bryce Dallas Howard, they're both just really charming and have such a great screen presence. Even together, they have some chemistry. If they weren't in it, this movie would have been a lot less watchable, for sure.
All right,
let's move on to Hereditary.
Yes.
Now, I heard a lot about this movie and how terrifying it was. I want to hear, what did it scare you?
There are some scary parts to it. Mm-hmm. I saw it. I was really intrigued by it because almost everyone I know said it was so disturbing and it was you shouldn't watch it. If you get spooked easily, don't watch it or whatever. And there was so much. I don't know. Maybe my expectations were really high because of that. But
okay,
it was.
But people, as a comedian, you've already seen a lot of disturbing things.
Yes, every night.
Yeah.
Every night on stage.
So your threshold is different.
I'm desensitized. Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. I've stayed in jizzed out rooms all over the United States, you know? Jizzed out is a phrase that I think Hannibal Buress used to describe comedy condos. You know?
Jizzed out.
It's all jizzed out. I like that phrase because it's true. But anyway, the people were saying that I know someone who felt, she said she felt sick for the whole rest of the day.
Wow.
After watching it. And other people I know were saying that it was just, you know, just it made them upset and stuff, and just they were just so disturbed, you know. And I thought, and then I was hearing stuff on the radio, and the director was talking about it on the radio, and I thought, all right, I don't even like horror. I don't go to watch horror movies, but I was so intrigued by everyone's reaction to this. I thought, okay, I'll go. So I went, and I didn't find it that disturbing. You know, again, maybe my expectations were high. Maybe it's because I've seen The Condos, you know. there were some scary parts, and the reason why those parts were scary, it's hard to talk about this movie at all because so much of it, I think is about your experience of it and your interpretation of what happens and stuff. So I can't really say too much, but I'll say that I don't think this is ruining anything because this happens very early on. But the movie has a lot of plays with the idea of darkness and seeing things in the dark, you know, or whatever. And to me, that's the scariest thing in the movie because that's a real thing. that can happen is that your eyes play tricks on you in the dark. Right. That's a real thing that happens, is your imagination, you know, seeing things in the dark. So I will say I wasn't that scared, but as I went home to my apartment and I was alone and I went to bed that night, I was kind of, I didn't feel as comfortable with the lights off. And I did lay in bed for, I did turn the lights back on for, you know, some amount of time the whole night. No, just kidding. No, but I did have to keep it, I did kind of take a little moment with the lights on and I thought, yeah, I'm going to leave these on for a little bit. And then I turned them off eventually. But it did make me a little bit more afraid of the dark. Just that night.
And so how was, so Toni Collette and Gabriel Byrne are in it, which are both, they're both fine actors. How were they in terms of performance?
Okay, yeah, good question. That's, I mean, Toni Collette is, yeah, I mean, she just, I mean, it's a horror movie, but I mean, she could win an Academy Award for this, you know? I mean, just there's, yeah, she really, she goes through a whole range of things and, yeah, I can't, she's good. She's really good. And Gabriel Byrne has a very passive sort of role in this film.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's fine. You don't really see a lot from him, though. You know what I mean? He's just sort of passively there kind of a thing. Who else is in it? There's this girl. I think she might be a newcomer, but she has, like, a Broadway background. I think she played Matilda on Broadway.
Is this Molly Shapiro? Charlie?
Charlie, right, yeah. Millie Shapiro.
Millie Shapiro.
She's interesting. She has an interesting look. I mean, yeah. And then, the kid, it's so weird that the kid, Alex Wolff, right? He plays the son. He's good too. I mean, they're all good. It's all good performances. I thought the movie was good. I mean, I liked the movie. And I don't really like a lot of newer films usually, but I liked it. It was, and it was scary. And what's interesting is that the kid who plays the son, he was in this Nickelodeon band in the 2000s called the Naked Brothers Band, and I can't believe it's the same kid.
No,
I had in the 2000s I had a fascination with kids programming and stuff, and I was I was embracing that stuff. Like I'd come home and it would be late at night, and I would watch Nickelodeon and Disney Channel stuff because I thought it was interesting. I don't know. I thought it was really corny, and I wanted to embrace it because I always shied away from corny stuff. And anyway, that kid's was in this kid band thing in the 2000s, and it's kind of crazy. It's the same kid.
But, well, let me ask you. So the director, this is his first feature, and so how was that in terms of
I mean,
directing?
Good. It was good. Everything was good. I mean, I probably have like one. Yeah, I have maybe one little criticism, but I think I can't even really talk about it without spoiling things, you know? Let me see if there's a way to word it. I'll say this. There's something that happens in the film, and it's not what people think I'm saying right now, but there's something else that happens in the movie. Okay, I'll say this, because the directors talk about this on the radio. There is a thing that happens in the film that is sort of a thing that people are kind of talking about, and that's not what I'm talking about. There's something later that happens that made the film become something different than I thought it was, or made it less ambiguous, actually. That's what it is. There's something that happens that made the movie a little less ambiguous, and I think it would have been better, more ambiguous all the way through.
Oh,
so I think, like, if the whole movie was, I was unsure what was going on the entire thing, or if it was less clear what was going on the entire way through, and I left the movie that way, that would have been kind of neat, I think. And I think that would have haunted me longer, you know? But granted, I still thought about the movie a lot afterwards. But I think it could have been...
With the lights on. You thought about it with the lights on.
Yeah. I know, there was something that happens. When there was less ambiguity to the story, it made it less scary, actually, because then it became something that it was easier to identify, and it was also something that, to me, is not scary. But that idea of darkness and your eyes playing tricks on you, that's a real thing that happens. So that's why that was the scariest thing. Anyway, there was also some other thing too that I could say about it without saying much, but I can't remember though. But anyway, yeah. Oh, Yeah, so this is the interesting thing about the movie. It is very much a family drama also, aside from being a horror movie. Mm-hmm. That was cool. I like that. And that was his intention too, from what I've heard.
Because he wrote it too. He's a writer-director on this project. Mm-hmm.
And
Ari Aster.
So I think there's themes, there's a lot of family themes in this movie, as it's called, Hereditary, you know?
Right.
So that's cool too. That's something interesting to think about when you're watching the movie.
Right. Well, you know, that's always the best horror movies have that element of we're kind of making a drama with horror elements, and they're always the most effective ones, especially when you get a solid story and solid actors.
Yeah,
and, you know, it makes all the difference.
You know, I know that there are lots of ways to interpret this film. There is the horror story, and there's like a literal interpretation of it, but there is, you know, also these other kind of stories. I think the movie's also just about, it's about family. It's about it's about something else, which I won't say. And then it's also, I think, about filmmaking as well, too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of reference to structure and, you know, form and stuff. I mean, the first shot of the movie is this dollhouse. The main character that Toni Collette plays, she makes these little dollhouses, these miniatures. And the first shot of the movie, it goes into the dollhouse, and a scene starts in the dollhouse. And I think that's just a lot of, and apparently they constructed this whole house too on a set. And so there's this parallel between the set and the dollhouse, which resembles the house that they are in. And I think there's just a lot of, but I think it all is ultimately calling attention to the filmmaker being in control of what's going on in this film and stuff. And,
right.
That kind of stuff.
All right.
Anyway, that's just some stuff.
Actually sounds good. You know, it sounds good and creepy. Any horror movie that makes you put the lights on for a little bit at night.
That's its job. It's very effective.
I saw an anime movie called In This Corner of the World on one of the streaming services. And it's a World War II drama about what happens in these smaller Japanese towns as the bombing was basically going on during World War II. It was very reminiscent of the older film Grave of the Fireflies, if you remember that film, which was incredibly depressing and sad. And it really had that feel to it. The problem with this movie was it was kind of structurally, it was all over the place. It was like over 2 hours long, and it was about this family and, you know, and the culture of like, all right, well, if you get married off, then you go live with the family that you're going with, and then this is happening in wartime, but like, well, which family are we following now, and what are these characters doing? Then there was too many characters and, you know, too many things and too many people to follow, and then nothing was happening. So then there was like literally like an hour of this movie where you're like, oh, like, I don't know, this could have been time better spent on, you know, the drama of preparing for war and you know, being at war and being bombed and all these things that are happening. So but that only really kind of happened at the end. So, you know, you have a lot of setup that really didn't go in a lot of places. So I will say this, there are parts that are just as depressing as Grave of the Fireflies. And so, you know, if you really want an anime to depress you, especially about war, here's the thing about movies like this, is that they catch you off guard, because when you see an anime movie, especially one that's kind of drawn in a way, not like a sci-fi or horror anime, but like one like that's drawn like a Studio Ghibli film, where you have these, you know, characters that are drawn very simply but have really expressive features, but also are just look more like cartoonish than realistic. And then you have horrible things happen to them, like bombings and losing limbs and things like that. It makes it a little more disturbing on another level, because you don't expect it, because you're not watching a live action film. So those scenes for sure were very effective, but the overall movie itself, it just had some weird structural problems, and it was too long, and it took too long to get to its point and its message, and too many characters and too many back and forth, and like, okay, well, what's going on with this family, what's going on with this character? And so it's definitely worth a look, but if you really want to see the definitive World War II anime that will put you in tears, it's Grave of the Fireflies for sure. Still, that still wins for most depressing anime.
This was a not a Japanese produced movie.
It was a Japanese produced movie. Yeah,
but it was meant to be. It was originally released in Japan. Then
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. Mm-hmm.
So definitely check it out on streaming. Now, Graham, you saw Sleepless. Now, this made me laugh when I looked up the trivia. Jamie Foxx said on the Howard Stern show, this is the hardest of his movies to watch.
It's interesting.
He admitted it. It's a remake of the French-Belgian movie, Sleepless Night.
Yeah, this movie came out in 2017. It was on the plane when I was flying back.
Of course it was a plane movie.
From Atlanta. And I was like,
low
okay.
Low license fee.
Sure. Michelle Monaghan's in it. Dermot Mulroney's in it. Jamie Foxx. And I was like, okay. The description is just, you know, a cop with a connection to the criminal underworld scours a nightclub in search of his kidnapped son, right? And there's crooked cops involved and bad guys. And I was like, all right, maybe this is one of those.
Graham, was there shooting in this movie?
Oh, yes, there was, Chris. I don't know how you caught that.
That's what kept everybody up.
It was crooked cops and drug deals gone wrong. And I was like, okay, maybe it didn't get, you know, wide publicity or a wide release, because sometimes there's these, like, this is just a decent movie that just fell through the cracks.
This is a new movie?
Came out in 2017.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there's some interesting stuff. I'm like, okay, Jamie Foxx playing a cop, and is he a good guy? Is he a bad? Is he crooked? We don't know.
Is he looking for his kid or something?
Yeah, his kid gets kidnapped early on. You know, he's involved in some crooked stuff. But
Jamie Foxx is taken, faking.
It's just faking. And which cops can you trust? Is Jamie Foxx a good guy, a bad guy? Like all this stuff. Bridget Monaghan, she's in Internal Affairs. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff is sort of interesting and kind of introduced. But then it just, like, some stupid shit just gets put in there in the second act, and you're just like, oh man, come on. Like, I always say, if I get too bored on a plane to finish watching a movie, right, what does it tell you? Like, it doesn't need much to keep me engaged.
You're already a captive
on a
audience.
Flight. I was just like, all right, you know, and I literally was just like, and then like another World Cup game started on the DirecTV that they had. So I was like, I'm going to go watch World Cup.
Right.
It's one of these movies where it could have been, they were trying to be super gritty. Mm-hmm. They were trying to be super, you know, I love a good cop drama if it's done right. But when they just introduce stuff and then stuff that you're just like, well, that would never, that's preposterous. You know, like, don't make it ridiculous. Just make it interesting.
Right.
You know, and make, you know, as I've said before, I mean, personally, I just like a conflicted character. I like someone that's like trying to do the right thing and all this stuff. But then, you know, and I was forgiving a lot of stuff. All right, he gets a call from his ex. Of course, he's got an ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you better not miss picking up your son again. You know, like that voicemail, like, got it, you know. And, but then, yeah, without giving stuff away, it's just like I can't recommend this movie. You've probably never heard of it.
Jamie Foxx, he was a cop. Did he work at Cliché Precinct?
He did work a little bit at the Cliché Precinct. He does a decent job. I mean, I like Jamie Foxx. Yeah, in the right part, he's a really good actor. Mm. And this should have been a better.
Does Rhonda make an appearance as his partner?
Yes.
Does that make sense? I don't know. Is that the name of his
that character from 25 years ago?
Yeah. That's
I mean, yeah. Don't seek this movie. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, even if you're on a plane,
on a
watch
plane,
the World Cup.
Yeah, or watch The Post again. I did that.
Right. So, all right, Graham, we've got some sponsors this
week. Well, now, yeah. Chris.
This is a new sponsor, Care of. It's a monthly subscription vitamin service made from effective quality ingredients personally tailored to your Graham Elwood's exact needs. And you know, even when you try to maintain a healthy diet, it can be hard to get all the nutrients your body needs for long-term health. The cool thing is that Care of actually has an online quiz that makes it easy to figure out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. And the recommendations are based on clinical research and traditional medicine with input from doctors and nutritionists. And there are vegan and vegetarian supplement options to match your dietary needs. and it's about 20% less when compared to similar brands at local drug and health food stores. So now you got some of these in the mail, Graham. How was the experience? Like you did the quiz too,
I did the
right?
quiz. You go online and you're like, what do you need? And so I was like, you know, my sleep patterns are not great, especially when I'm on the road. But even when I'm home, sometimes my sleep patterns aren't great. So you'd like, you know, and I'm like, I'm pretty active. I work out a lot. And so I checked all these things. And they're like, okay, well, we recommend this type of package that we're putting together for you. It was really easy. The quiz is cool. It's real easy and it ships pretty quickly.
How come you didn't do the quiz?
So I don't like quizzes. So.
You're like, I already have all the vitamins I need.
Yeah. So, so it was good.
It was good.
Yeah,
I recommend it. I mean, it's cool. It's the quiz thing it was really helpful because, you know, I've done a lot of healthy stuff and you read some article or this product proposes to do this or this for you, but
right.
I think it's they're doing it in the right order. They should ask each individual what do you need, what
right.
are you not getting, whatever, mm-hmm. and then they give you sort of little like a little research quote. Well, this we're going to put this in there because this like magnesium helps with your sleep. I didn't realize that.
Are the vitamins fun to eat or are they just standard sort of pills?
Yeah, they're just standard. They're just standard.
They're not like.
Are you asking if they're gummies?
Yeah, are they gummies or something like that? Or
this is for adults.
They make them for adults. Gummies. You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, I saw these male vitamins. Well, I got. Actually, it was a comedy show. It was sponsored by a vitamin company, mm-hmm. and they were these adult gummies, and they were supposed to be good vitamins. Anyway, they were actually tasty, too.
So do you eat your adult gummy vitamins with the lights on while watching Nickelodeon at
yeah,
night?
Yeah, exactly. I'm 13 years old, by the way. I don't know if...
So now here's the great thing. We're not going to let you pay full price. For 25% off your first month of personalized care of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter Comedy Film Nerds. That's all you have to do. 25% off. Visit takecareof.com and enter Comedy Film Nerds. Boom. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another sponsor today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is Casper Mattresses. This is...
I love my Casper mattress.
Yeah, you love your Casper mattress.
I was just traveling. I was on five different hotels.
Isn't it great to come back onto your Casper mattress?
The best thing.
It's they're cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing support, comfort for all kinds of bodies. And it's a breathable design that helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature. And there's also a wide variety of other products like pillows and sheets. And everything's made in the USA. So, and it's affordable prices and hassle-free returns. That's what's great about it. Like, you know, you're not really taking a chance. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. So, you don't like it? Send it back. You got 100 nights to sleep on it.
Free shipping.
So, and you get $50 off your select mattress by visiting casper.com/comedyfilmnerds and using Comedy Film Nerds at checkout. $50 off on select mattresses by visiting casper.com/comedyfilmnerds and using Comedy Film Nerds at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Mm-hmm. Now, how are Casper mattresses as far as like jumping on? Are they
good? They're all right. They're good for that. They're really,
you know, because when you're eating
don't they?
When you're eating your, you know, gummy vitamins, you know, you want to like
while you're watching Nickelodeon,
and have the lights on, you want to jump around on the mattress too. You know?
Yeah, of course. Like when the sitter's not there.
Yeah. That's fair enough. You know, the other thing you could do is if you have a big family, you could get Green Chef.
Oh.
We have a new sponsor. Now, a lot of times you guys, you hear us talk about HelloFresh. This is another company called Green Chef, but HelloFresh owns them. So it's basically another choice that you have. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit delivery service.
Ooh. Organic meal kit.
That
was my nickname in college.
Organic meal kit?
Yeah.
Yeah. OMK.
OMK.
Is OMK coming to the party? I don't know. Yeah. Ask him. See if he'll bring, you know, some gluten-free chips.
Some organic tabbouleh.
Yeah.
Is he going to bring that to the kegger?
Yeah. Recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to help you along the way. Each ingredient is thoughtfully sourced in its journey track from planting to plating. And Green Chef thinks dinner should be planned around your life, not the way around. So they include pre-made sauces, dressings, and spices. And they've got a lot of cool meal plans, which I like. They've got paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore. What I like about it is that, like, you could choose, like, family meal, because we have four people in the family. But then you could pick, like, carnivore, which means there's meat in everyone, or omnivore, which means there's vegetarian options, too, because... you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, if you're a vegetarian, you don't eat meat. And, you know, it's one of those things where when you go to a restaurant with a vegetarian, it's you're like, oh, is there something you can eat? I'm like, yeah, there's something a vegetarian can eat in a restaurant. There's always something. And it's the opposite of when you're you eat meat. It's like when you go to a vegetarian restaurant, there's always that, will you be able to find something that you will be able to eat?
Who and cares if yeah. a meat eater can get something to eat?
Exactly.
Because you can eat non-meat stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like, just because you eat meat doesn't mean you have to have it every single yeah. meal. It's
vegetarian, you yeah. can't, you yeah. have no other choice.
It's it's the awesome. Kind of thing where, like, I like the idea that, like, we've liked it, we want to eat more vegetarian meals. And so I like the fact that, okay, well, we can get both. So it's a nice choice.
All right.
So
how do we get it?
Here's how you can get it. And again, not going to pay full price, $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Go to greenchef.us. Now that is US, not .com. greenchefus.us/CFN. $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Go to greenchef.us/CFN. All right.
And just out of curiosity, so, and for the meals, like, how are the desserts? You know, are they yummy?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if so, I get excited about desserts, and I start jumping on the bed and on the Casper mattress, you know, and I start, you know, chewing the gummy vitamins. And
go to BrettWeinbach.com and get his footy pajamas, guys. Yes. That he's selling.
Get the onesie.
All right. Now, Graham, we've got some Patreon sponsors.
Let's get
too.
Into it.
Yeah. We've got, for a red carpet look, for a blue collar price, Paparazzi Jewelry, just $5 a piece. paparazziaccessories.com/89078. The number at the end is important. Support Nadra Connor. Now, we've been actually shipping these out in order. So some of you that have been ordering in the CFN store, you're getting some free Nadra Connor jewelry at paparazziaccessories.com. And Johnny Rulon's got his new novel titled Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon in both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. That's happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And our favorite charity, the Audacity Performing Arts Project, produces after-school performing arts projects in poor, underfunded, and the lowest performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury, so help them out and visit them at cfn.audacityperformingarts.org. cfn.audacityperformingarts.org. Boom.
Let's $50 a month at the patreon.com level, guys. You get those things read. So just go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds.
On the spoilers, too. Spoiler ups.
Yep.
So, all right, let's talk about some trailers. Let's watch Creed 2. Oh,
I'm looking forward to seeing this, actually. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this trailer.
We got this.
You hear me?
If you want.
Headphones up.
In the ring, you got rules. Outside, we got nothing.
So Sylvester Stallone is in this movie.
Or maybe it's like,
people like me, we live in the past. You got people that need you now. You got everything to lose. This guy's got nothing to lose.
I ain't got a choice.
That's the same thing your father said, and he died right here in my hands. Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
But you don't think I could beat him?
Is this part? That was part one, right?
This is part two.
No, I think.
I was afraid I couldn't live up to these expectations. I got
loyalty inside my DNA. You don't think you got your validation? I got loyalty.
What a great idea these movies were.
I know.
I want to rewrite history.
Don't pretend this is about your father. I was born like this, is born like this. Immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. What shells you want in weapon? I don't contemplate. I meditate them off your head. This that put the kiss to bed. This that I got.
It may not seem like it now, but... this is more than just a fight.
Do you think Rocky's gonna die in this movie?
Hold on. Hold on. Who's he fighting? Drago.
Oh, Drago.
Yep.
Wait, had you seen the trailer already?
Yeah, I saw it. They played it ahead of...
so you knew that was coming.
I knew that was coming. I saw when I was... So they played it ahead of Jurassic World when I saw that last night.
So it's his son or something?
Yeah, it's Drago's son versus...
Oh, Creed.
Apollo's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now...
He's going to try to kill Drago.
Right. Payback for his
payback.
Death.
Yeah. You know, I would like to see Apollo Creed come back as a ghost in these movies, but, you know, that would be kind of cool. But, so I guess we're going to see, what's his name?
Sylvester Stallone?
We'll definitely see Sylvester Stallone, but what's...
Talia Shire?
No. Dolph Lundgren. Yeah.
Oh, Dolph is going to be in this.
Yeah.
I hope he's training his kid.
I can't imagine he wouldn't be at this
point. How could
he
not?
Yeah. And then there's kind of a side fight outside the arena where Dolph Lundgren and Rocky Balboa go at it.
I hope there's something.
You're hoping
that
there is.
Yeah, yeah.
The first Creed, I really liked it. I thought it was an excellent film.
And then, you know, somebody yells, I'm not doing another Expendables movie.
I'm curious about.
Well, yeah. I mean, the first Creed made me... I've watched all the Rockies. I love the first, you know, four and even five, actually. The first Creed kind of made me think, this makes me just want to watch the original Rockies. You know what I mean? Right. It almost feel like they want to just keep doing Rocky movies, but, you know, Sylvester Stallone's too old to do it now or whatever, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
I forgot how I felt about Creed, but... I'll watch this
for sure.
I really liked it because I really like Michael B. Jordan. I think he's a really, really talented young actor, and all the dilemmas and the storylines. When I first saw this trailer last night ahead of Jurassic, I was like, are they just redoing just Creed again?
Kind of feel like even with the first Creed, I was kind of like, maybe it's time to hang up the gloves or what's the expression? Because it's like sort of like they just keep on trying to make these Rocky movies and it's over.
The first Creed struck this. Fantastic balance. Again, it was like lightning in a bottle. I don't know if it can be repeated, of like introducing Apollo Creed's son, having it about his story, but putting just the right amount of Rocky Balboa in it. Like, you know, a little less or a little more would have just upset the entire balance of the film. Whereas this movie, you're like, are they going to get that mix right again? I'm not sure.
It was such a cool thing in the first one, too. You know, Rocky's battling cancer and all this other stuff. So
he's in remission, clearly, in this one.
Maybe he does die, though, huh?
Well, you know, it depends how many of these movies they're going to make.
Right.
At some point, he's going to have a Han Solo moment where, he's going to go.
Well, I thought the trailer made it seem like, because those first, I couldn't even tell the difference between part one and that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking... Oh, are these kind of memories or clips from the first one informing us of what is to see for part two, what's going to happen in part two? And so I was thinking at first when I heard his voice, I thought, oh, this is it's Michael B. Jordan's character hearing the memories from it, and he's dead now.
Right.
That's what I was getting from it, is that he's dead now.
All right, let's get to the next one. Right. Welcome to Marwen.
Welcome to Marwen.
Have you seen this one yet?
No.
Oh, wait, you see this.
Hey, looking good.
Oh, it's like a...
What is that?
Like Hereditary.
The world's famous miniatures. Marwen, Mark's art installation.
So that's the guy.
Yeah, it's right up there.
Some Nazi thugs jumped him. It's a miracle he survived.
I was a hell of a good artist, and now I can barely write my name. So my dolls have to tell the story.
At your service, mademoiselle.
I just moved in across the street. I love all the details. Who are they?
They are Nazis torturing Hoagie.
Why?
Because he's different. The women of Marwen protect me.
You are saved.
A toast, just for you.
Are all of the dolls people you know?
Yeah. Everyone has a place here in Marwen.
I just moved in across the street.
So are you going to go to the sentencing?
You're a suffering human being. I want these guys to get more than just a slap on the wrist. It's important that you're there to look your assailant straight in the eye.
I'm not really sure how to do this.
When are you gonna man up and put an end to this crap?
What are you talking about?
We're one and the same, pal. If I can be a hero, so can you.
Maybe the dolls should stay in the car.
I never go anywhere without my backup.
Learning to walk again.
It hurts like hell.
Gotta embrace that pain.
I believe I'm waiting long enough.
It's the only way Mark's gonna heal.
I got your back, Hoagie.
Bottoms up, girls.
What do you think this is? The Indy 500? Go, go, go! More ammo! More ammo!
I thought I heard you yelling for more gumbo.
No, no gumbo.
You gotta love the pain. Pain is a rocket fuel.
I have my art, and I have my friends. I have hope, and I'll be okay.
Hell yeah.
So this movie is Toy Story meets Inglourious Basterds.
Exactly.
But at least the Nazis are dead.
So, you know what this movie reminded me of is, like, a movie that has really good intentions. Like one of those movies like Downsizing, where like we have a point to make, we're going to show it in a fantastical, interesting way that you've never seen before, and then it falls completely flat on its face.
Yeah, I want this movie to like
be emotional, yeah, and be moving.
Pull on my heartstrings, but yeah. I feel like I'm just going to be going,
like, this is kind of dumb. Well, yeah.
Also, anytime I see CGI like that, it just kind of turns me off. You know, I mean, imagine how cool that would be if they did stop motion animation with actual dolls.
That would be a little more interesting. Like, So I don't know. Like you know, that was the trailer. Was it? How much was it showing us? What, you know? Because from what we've seen on trailers too, like the tone of the movie could be completely different. Or
right.
This might all be like the first act of the movie, and then something completely different happens for the next hour.
It could just be a courtroom drama the whole time through.
Yeah, exactly. With dinosaurs.
With dinosaurs, yeah. About philosophical dinosaur stuff.
So, I don't know.
Genetic.
Yeah.
But you know...
I'm with you, Graham. I want this movie to be good, but I'm not sure.
Something that seemed really corny, and this could just be the trailer, is that music playing while... the woman was saying embrace the pain and stuff.
Yeah, that didn't
help.
That
just seems so corny to me, you know? Yeah. It made me think, oh, I don't know, this might not be for me, but it's the trailer's fault.
Yeah,
because it's probably not that music playing when she says that.
Right.
But actually, even that line, it's in and of itself, even if there is no music playing, is sort of a corny seeming line.
Yeah, I think that's my question here, and then we can move on, I guess, but like, did the marketing department decide they needed to cut that trailer because the movie itself is way more intense and way more this guy needing these dolls to get through the PTSD of getting his ass kicked by neo-Nazis. And they said, it's a guy with dolls, so we need to make it more kid friendly. You know what I mean?
Like, more fun.
Yeah, more family fun, when it's like, this isn't family fun.
Right.
This is a guy that needs to hallucinate to get through fucking trauma.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, those were neo-Nazis. I was actually unclear as the time period of the movie.
So am I.
Oh yeah, I wasn't sure if it was actually like they were just Nazis.
Yeah, like actual Nazis.
Actually, I guess it wouldn't make sense. I mean, I guess there wouldn't be Nazis in,
because if there was guys with swastika tattoos in post-war America,
but they were fancy swastikas.
Yeah, they would be fucking people would kill them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So also we have on DVD and Blu-ray, Tyler Perry's Acrimony. This was his thriller.
Yep.
That
VOD.
You can check that out. And also Terminal. This was Margot Robbie's movie. That it was one
Tom,
of those.
Tom Hanks. He's stuck in the airport.
Yeah. And Margot Robbie changed costumes a lot while he's stuck in the airport. This movie, just from the trailer, looked again all over the place.
Yeah.
So. Now, the site spotlight and the fan feedback, I wanted to turn you guys' attention to the Facebook fan page for Comedy Film Nerds. There's a great post, "What famous line did Admiral Akbar say?" And we requested wrong answers only.
So this one's from Becky Yenter, which is, "Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue," which is an airplane reference. God bless you, Becky, for that. And then... Alison Blanchard wrote, Gozer the Traveler. He will come in one of the pre-chosen forms. During the restoration of Voldini, the Traveler came as a large and moving Torg. Then, during the third reconciliation of the land, like, she goes, does the whole, but she does the whole thing from, I believe that's Ghostbusters 2, if I'm not mistaken. Just one?
Yeah,
Rick Moranis' line? Allison and Becky, God bless you for these comments.
And they go on and on.
There
and
are
on.
So many. I mean, there are dozens
and they're
of,
great.
Dozens
so check
of them
out. And add your own.
Teresa Verity, paint me like one of your French girls. Stephanie Phillips Lee, forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Go to the CFN Facebook page and just scroll through these. It'll get you through your afternoon. What, and yours is?
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes.
Snakes on a plane, always good.
So, all right, premiering this week, we've got Sicario 2, Soldado. So, you saw the trailer for this. And, you know, I like Josh Brolin, I like Benicio del Toro. But the main focus of the first film was kind of Emily Blunt's character. And,
it was Emily Blunt's character, and also just the. It was felt very real. It was like Syriana.
Yes.
You know, like it was an American Mexico drug cartel Syriana. The complexities of this situation between the CIA and the regular cops and all that stuff, and this just looks like.
Like, now he's protecting a kid, and, you know, he now, you know...
It's just, let's go down to Mexico and kick some ass. Yeah, like, it doesn't...
And this is a sequel to the Al Pacino hippie cop film?
Yes. 30 years later, 40 years later, they're bringing back the hippie cop.
Serpicario?
Serpicario.
Serpicario.
So, I gotta say, I don't have any interest in seeing it. I don't, it felt like it was a weird, like, Wolverine kind of thing, too. Like, as like, all right, you know, now he's taking care of a kid, and now, all right, well, now the other guy that used to be his friend is gonna come after him because the kid's gotta die, and I'm like, oh.
It makes me want to watch the first one again.
Right, exactly.
Because I feel like this one's gonna let me down, and I really want to watch the first one again because it's so intricate.
And the next movie is a very interesting counter-programming, Uncle Drew. This is a...
the sequel to the John Candy 80s...
Uncle Buck.
Family flick.
Yeah. This is actually... when I read this, I'm like, what? This was a digital online series created by Pepsi? So I don't...
Oh, really?
I have no idea how good this movie is.
Well, that makes sense, actually. It makes sense that it was a digital series, actually.
And Shaquille O'Neal is in it, playing an old man. So... The last movie that's coming out is a documentary called Three Identical Strangers, which is a fascinating story of, three triplets who were separated at birth, and you don't know why. And then one of them found his twin at college, and then there was a big news story, and then the third triplet came forward going, I think I'm the third one. So then they go through kind of this mystery of, like, why they were separated at birth and what happened in their lives.
Oh, wow. So that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting documentary. So the trailer kind of hooked me, like, oh, I want to know the story now, what happened.
All right.
So,
well, that's our show, everybody.
That is it. That's a little supersized show. So,
not really.
Oh, it's not? Oh, we started late. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Brent, where can people find you online?
There's a YouTube channel called youtube.com/Brent Weinbach and a Vimeo channel as well. It's the same thing, vimeo.com/Brent Weinbach. Those are the best places, but there's a Twitter account as well and whatever, other stuff. I mean, the typical things, but those
don't
are
feel
the,
ashamed to promote your career.
I mean, you know how
life.
It is. I mean, I can't even get a smartphone to do that. you could check out, this is what to check out. I have a stand-up special. It's on Amazon. It's called Appealing to the Mainstream. And don't get confused if you search for it. There's this other... like link for it that's says it's unavailable, and just it is available. Just look for the other one that says it's available.
That always helps when you have a bad search result.
Yeah, it's kind of anyway. So there, Appealing to the Mainstream. It's on Amazon, and there's I don't know. So I mentioned some dates. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure. That's what this is for.
So I think July 31st. I'm doing a show at the Improv You could in Los Angeles. So that's one thing. And then September 8th, doing a show in New Hampshire. Just look at my stuff to find out where this stuff is. But it's September 8th in New Hampshire. To find the venue, you can just look it up. And then in October.
Is there a main hub, Brent?
Yeah, just go to BrentWeinbach.com.
Mm-hmm.
October 11th through 14th, there'll be Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and New York.
Great.
Awesome. We'll be at Comic-Con, guys.
Yes, we
as
can
always.
Announce that now.
We'll be doing Rick Meyer's Kung Fu Extravaganza, as always. And we'll be doing some other stuff down there, which is fun.
Yep.
July 15th, I'll be doing the Jimmy Dore Show in Chicago. And then August 9th, I'm doing Political Vigilante Live in Seattle. And then August 11th in Seattle, doing stand-up with Mike Schmidt. We're each doing like half-hour, 40-minute sets. Go to GrahamElwood.com for all my tour dates and all of my needs. Not your needs.
All right, that is our show. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Don't forget to support the store and the Patreon. That definitely helps keep us going.
Make Gotham Great Again shirts are available at Comedy Film Nerds. The new logo shirts are going to be coming out soon, guys.
Any day now.
$20 a year. All you got to do to support the show, you can do it in a number of ways.
Yes.
Thank you, Brett Weinbach, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Aaron Brungardt, thank you so much for doing what you do. And we're not sure what it is, but we really appreciate it. And thank you for posting on the Facebook page. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.